Relationship and family are God's ideas, and I find that his ideas are always actually the best ones. So right at the start of the Bible, God says it isn't good for people to be on their own. And all through the Old Testament, he chooses families and tribes of people, including multiple generations. And then in the New Testament, we see different generations interacting with Jesus, and then the instructions, like Christina was saying, with Paul to the church about how we should live together as God's family and as different generations and different types of people all together. So all through the Bible, we see God's people living, learning, and laughing together. And there are just a few examples up on the screen. So we've got Joshua, who God says has got to put down a pile of stones so that when people ask him, why are the stones there, he can tell the children and the future generations what God has done for them. And then in the Psalms, each generation will praise you and tell the next generation about the great things you do. We see God using different generations, not just the kind of grown-up people, but people like Samuel and David and Josiah, who were quite young. And the servant girl who, was it Naaman's servant girl? She's not on there, but yeah. And we can all learn and grow spiritually together and from each other. Titus 2, if you've got time to read it, has got lots of stuff about old men and young women and old women and this kind of person and that kind of person and all the kind of ways that they can grow and learn together. Where's the next one, Peter? Next slide, please. So yeah, Jesus didn't segregate people by age. You think about the feeding of the 5,000. Everybody was there listening. It was a day out to listen to Jesus, all the ages. And it was a kid who gave him his packed lunch to feed everybody with. God speaks to all sorts of people in the book of Ezra. When Ezra's reading out the law, it says that men and women and anyone who was old enough to listen and understand was there. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, it'll be boring for you. You go somewhere else and do something exciting. Everybody sat and listened. And we are instructed to teach future generations about God and his ways. And I know we read this bit at Ella's dedication a while back about remembering the commands that were given to us and teaching them to our children, talking about them in our homes and when we're kind of getting on with daily life. So often we talk about ISCA being a family. We've had prophetic words about this church being a family and being a family for families and a restorer of families in the community. And it's one of our kind of vision areas as a church. But I think sometimes people are a bit nervous about this idea, and sometimes they rule themselves out and they exclude themselves. And I have heard people say, oh, that's not me. You might be sitting at home this morning, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, oh, they're not talking to me. We are. Sorry. So listen. So sometimes I think there's a perception that when we talk about family as a church, we're talking about like me and Julian and our kids, or Mark and Gemma and their kids, or the Webbers or whatever. And it can't possibly mean you because you're single, or you come on your own, or your kids are grown up, or you don't have any children, or whatever it is. And I just want to say something about the true nature of family this morning. Based on my own personal experience, I want to kind of give a testimony about it. And I hope it encourages you to know that you are part of this family. Because my experience of family is that it's really big, it's really broad, and it's really inclusive. And I think as God's family, we should be the biggest, broadest, most inclusivest, I know that's not the word, but most inclusive family of all. And that is a really powerful testimony of who God is and what his love is like. And so I want to tell you something about my family. And I've got some pictures. Here they are. So this is Christmas. So it's just a couple of weeks ago. And there are five other people that you can't see in the first photo, kind of this side of the room. And some of them you can see having lunch. I love these photos for more than one reason. The first reason is because they're full of people that I really love and who love me. And people who know me and accept me for who I am and still like me. So Timothy Keller, I've got a quote, I think, who's a church leader and theologian, said this. I can't see it, Peter, so I can't read it. To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It's what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for difficulties that life can throw at us. I mean, what a great thing, hey? And this is the kind of love and relationship that we're kind of called to develop and want to develop in our church family. And I know that not everyone's fortunate enough to have experienced that in their natural family, and that can make this difficult. But actually, you are still welcome and valuable in the family of God, this family beyond biology, and a part of kind of making our church family a place where each of us is known and loved in this way. And I also love these photos, there they are again, because they have people in them from the age of 2 to 76. So you can see my little blonde niece Nora in the chair in the back corner, she's 2. And in the front here in the scarf, that's Sue, she's 76. There's single people there, there's married people, there are people in there who've been divorced and remarried, there's adults, children, men, women, people who are students, people who are employed, people who are retired, people who are part of that family through birth, people who are part of that family through marriage. That's what family is like, it's what it looks like. And I challenge you to say that you don't fit into any single one of those categories, and therefore you're not part of this family, okay? I challenge you not to fit into one of those. And if you're still not sure, these photos also include someone who's a full and integral part of my family, who's not connected in any way through blood or marriage, and who perhaps the world might say isn't actually part of the family. But I can tell you that is not true. And because this family goes beyond biology, and that's Sue in the scarf. So I want to tell you a bit about Sue. Sue's been part of my family for all of my life that I can remember. She started off as a friend of my parents from church. She was born outside of marriage to an American soldier and a young English woman at the end of the Second World War. And that was not something that was acceptable at that time. And so she was adopted as a baby. And her adoptive parents were a bit older than you would perhaps expect a baby's parents to be naturally. And so they died when she was younger than you would hope to be when your parents die. And she found herself on her own because she hadn't married or anything. And so it was at that point that my parents felt very strongly that God was telling them to invite Sue to live with them. And they were a fairly newly married couple. They'd got 2 young children. They weren't sure that was actually something she would quite want to do. But they really felt that that was what they should do. They should ask her to live with them. And so they just said to her, "What do you think about this?" And she felt actually, yeah, that was what she was meant to do. So they sold their separate houses and they bought a big house together. And Sue became part of our life and our family. She had her own bedroom, obviously, but other than that, there was no other separate bit of the house that was hers. She was fully part of life with me, my brother, my parents, and later with my other brother and sister. She ate with us, she came on holiday with us, she was there for Christmases, birthdays, she helped with homework, took us to clubs, read us bedtime stories, reminded us to clean our teeth, took us to university open days, played games with us, all those things. My dad left when I was 10, and at that point my mum and Sue decided to carry on sharing a home and kind of family life together. And that continued right up until 2008 when my mum remarried. And at that point, they sold the shared house, and they now have 2 houses with gardens that back onto each other, and there's a gate and a path between them. And so on Christmas Day, you could see a steady procession of people and plates of food and saucepans and chairs and all those kind of things making their way between Mum's house and Sue's house and back again, because you don't stop being part of family. And Sue tells this story better herself, but I think it's a real picture of what God's family is like and what this church as a family is called to be like. Nobody's left out. The definition of family isn't narrow. It does include you. And it's created by God putting us together, just like he put Sue in my family. And then it grows in those shared experiences and memories. Those are a really significant part of what connects Sue to me, where there's no blood or legal connection. And they don't have to be big things like Christmas. It's all the dinner times, sat around the table together. It's the being there for bedtime stories, chatting about my day at school, being there when I brush my teeth, her being interested in what was going on in my day-to-day life and now what's going on in the life of my own children. And I guess that's why we really believe that these intergenerational relationships are so very important, and what we're trying to kind of get across today, because it's the sharing of life and experiences together right across the generations as God's family that helps us all to grow and learn and develop, and what gives us a sense of purpose and belonging in God's kingdom. So I've got another quote here. I like this one. When a multi-generational community works the way it's supposed to, every member feels needed, seen, loved and useful to each other's spiritual discipleship and to the kingdom of God. So please don't exclude yourself and think that we're not talking to you today, because if you do, then we're all going to miss out. We miss out on what you bring to the family. So with Sue, she makes a really great trifle. She brings an amazing range of fancy dress costumes and props, among many other things. If you ever want to dress up, she's the person to go to. And you miss out on what we bring. With my family at the moment, with Julian, it's quite a lot of mess and noise and chaos, but it's a lot of fun as well. So the idea of intergenerational relationships in the church is that we can all learn and grow in God and his ways from each other. So I just wanted to kind of demonstrate this quickly. I was hoping that I could get one person of each colour flower up here. So if you've got a white flower, I want one person with a white flower, one person with a yellow flower, one person with a light pink flower, one person with a dark pink flower, one person with a peachy coloured flower. I can't remember what other colour flowers there were. But yeah, right. Okay. So in my bag, I need more people. Hang on a minute. I want one person with each sort of flower. So hang on a minute. Come on. Right, in my bag, there are two balls down there. Right, I don't need your flowers necessarily because you're going to need to do something. So you might want to put your flowers down. Right, hang on a minute. There we go. Right, okay, have I got one of every age? In my bag, there are two balls. Naomi, can you get the balls out of my bag? So I've got a red ball and I've got a green ball. And the red ball is kind of like spiritual stuff. Stuff you know about God and stuff you've experienced of God and God's ways and knowledge about God. And the green ball is kind of life experience and wisdom, I decided. So sometimes I think we can be a bit like these guys are at the moment. I'm going to move you. A bit of a line. We think it goes down the line from Avril all the way down to Naomi. You need to swap places with Esther. To Naomi. And that's it. But actually, I think it's more of a kind of circular thing. So can you guys make a circle? And just throw it between you. Don't. There's no order to it. So, you know, keep throwing, Naomi, just keep throwing. That's it. So, you know, Avril can learn something from Naomi. She can teach something to Sim. Kath can learn something from Esther. Esther can learn something from Kath. They can share their life experience and their spiritual wisdom and the things they know about God. And it's just kind of organic. There's no kind of line or kind of, you know, you've got to teach me and I've got to learn from you. You know, we can all learn from each other and pass on what we know about God and what we know about life to kind of help each other. So this sharing across the generations can happen in so many different ways. It can be chatting with someone and finding out how things are going for them, what you can pray for them, sharing your prayers needs with them, and what you'd like them to pray about, talking about something you've recently been thinking about God. Could be helping them with something practical, like, I'm going to put in a personal plea here. Esther had some fabric and a dress pattern for Christmas, and she's making a pinafore. Neither Julian nor I are the best sewers, and she would really love someone to just spend some time with her, helping her make a pinafore. Someone who's got some life experience. There we are, I've got a volunteer. I love it. It could be having a meal together, going for a walk together, serving together in some way, like making cakes for an event at the Beacon. You know, lots of different things. Send a letter. Everybody loves getting post. Just send something encouraging and lovely to someone in the post. All sorts of different ways that we can be family together. It's all about being together in ways that deepen our relationship with each other and with God. You can probably stop playing ball if you want. And this is really important stuff because it's what helps connect us all to each other as the body and family of God, so that we all know that we're needed, seen, loved and useful, like those quotes that we read earlier said. And when I was thinking about all this, I started thinking about pudding, which often happens to me, I'm afraid. I get a bit distracted. And I was thinking about, where has it gone? Can I have my, here we are, it's coming. Not that one. That's not pudding. Here we are. I was thinking about pavlova. And I was thinking about how sometimes as a church, I think maybe we can be a bit like a pavlova. You've got the different layers. You've got the meringue, the cream, the fruit, the children, the youth, the adults. And they can all be a bit separate. They're all part of the pavlova, but they don't really mix necessarily. They're all there in their different layers. And what I felt God was saying was that actually, maybe he wants to turn us into an Eton mess as a church. If you know Eton mess, it's got all the same ingredients as a pavlova, but they're all kind of broken down and mixed up in a different way. It's a bit less formal. It's a bit less structured. It doesn't look quite the same. It's a little bit messy, but it's just as tasty. It tastes just as good, but it doesn't look the same as it did before. So I will leave you with that picture. But as a church, we really do believe that God has put us together to do life together. And everyone has a part to play in that, from the youngest, I think it's Kezia today, right up to the oldest, I won't name who you are. And we're a family that kind of mucks in together, learns from each other. So please don't be shy about it. God has put you in this church for a reason. There are people he wants you to connect with and do life with across the generations. And so I really would encourage you, as Christine has already done this morning, to kind of think about this afresh. If it isn't something you've really thought about before, or if you're not sure about it, you don't like mess, talk to God about it and ask him what this looks like for you and who he wants you to connect with. Whose person are you going to appear on to help them in making their faith real and lasting and growing, and who's going to be part of your life in that way too, so that we can all learn and grow together as the family of God.